Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life. To align your life with your dreams, check out my self-paced coaching program that also gives one-on-one coaching support. For just $47 per month, cancel anytime. You can find the link in the description.
So I'm so excited to chat with you today about angels and all that that entails. And could you give us a little bit of who you are and what you do? And we'll go from there.
All right. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for having me, Megan. This is wonderful. And I get to play with you and talk about angels. My name is Jessie Chen, and I am based here in Southern California, and I'm called a wealth empowerment coach. But originally, I started giving readings after my spiritual awakening in 2010, and I was giving angel readings. I started to have like this awareness that angels are around us, and I started relaying those messages to people who wants to receive it. And those messages become evolved into coaching. And most people come to me because they're entrepreneurs and they want to make more money. So what I do now is really help people to get overcome their money trauma so that they can manifest, make, keep, and save more money. But really the basis of what I do is I still connect with their guardian angels and I hear what they need and how to help them heal, because everybody is unique. Everybody comes with their own baggage, history, experiences, their own skill sets. So when I'm in a session with them, I pick out all those things and I help them to draw out what they need to know in order to heal. And I believe that once they unblock the things that are blocking them, then they can start welcoming that flow of prosperity.
I love that. I'd love to hear a little bit about your spiritual awakening if you wanted to share that story a little.
Yeah, of course. Of course, yeah. In 2002, I first came to the U.S. From Malaysia. And mind you, I have no experience about like with angels. We were not religious. My parents were, you know, we were traditional growing up, and there's a lot of superstitious beliefs and things like that, but never about like anything about angels at all. I don't even read the Bible. So when my best friend and my grandmother passed away suddenly in that year, I started to receive messages from them in my dreams. And I thought it was just dreams. And then so when I woke up, I felt this urge like I have to share this information. And I needed to share with my best friend's mom. And then some of the information my grandmother was sharing with me, I talked to my mom about it, and I realized those are information that I didn't know, but they were able to validate that this was truth. So then I started to have the awareness of like, okay, this is real. I may be communicating with that. So 10 years pass. I have taken quite a bit of classes. I've learned, you know, different types of things in different workshops. I don't take it seriously. I thought, I'm in such a science-based, I'm the biggest skeptic out there. Let's put it that way. Did not believe it. I just want to actually ignore it. I'm the one who wants to go to the, you know, a corporate 9-to-5 job, and I want to get married. I want to do all those things and check the list. So 2010, I suffered from severe depression. I was clinically depressed. It was so bad that my body started to shut down. I wasn't able to move. I wasn't able to function. And of course, because I was trying to suppress myself, I had no idea. So because of this shutting down, I started to feel like my spirit started to wither away. And I wasn't able to didn't even understand how severe it was. So one night I was lying down on my bed I really felt like my spirit was lifting out of my body. And I really felt like I was going to go to the other side. And then I heard, now I see this light in front of me. It wasn't like a blinding light. It was just this, I don't know, like a loving light. It was just beautiful. It was sparkly. And then I hear this voice saying, if you want to go, you may go, but you may have to do this all over again. And I'm like, oh, snap. No, I'm not going. I'm not doing it all. No. We are not doing this all over again. It's been hard enough. Yeah. So I'm going to clean myself up and just go get help. And it was like, suddenly I remember my life purpose. I knew that I came here to do something. I have signed a contract. And I was supposed to help a lot of women. I just don't know what that is yet. And I was supposed to go through all this hardship and eventually I will find it. So that was in my 20s when I was going through the awakening. So I went to get help. I was inpatient and outpatient for a while. 6 months into it, I weaned myself out from antidepressant and I was ready to explore. I was like, what was that voice? So we have just moved into a new house at that time, and I locked myself up in a room, empty of furniture, nothing in it except me and a piece of paper. And I was so scared. I was like, whatever that voice is, let me know what I need to do. So I started doing automatic writing. And from there, I learned that I was listening. It was the voice of God. And then Archangel Michael comes through. At that time, I had no idea who is Archangel Michael. I have no idea what, that there's ranks in them. And so Archangel Michael started to brief me about what that was and why I was here and started giving me details of my past lives. And all those details, the dates, the names, the places and things that happened. For example, I was a refugee that ran from Poland to Czech. And the date when that happened, I was able to identify those and validate those on Google. So that made me a believer in things on the other side, on the ethers. And within a few months, I found a spiritual temple, and they took me in and started helping me out. Like, I was just really just fresh, you know, I don't know what to do. And my mentor at that time said, you know, you might want to just try and give readings to other people if you are, you know, very intuitive. And I was like, okay. She gave me a table, a booth on a psychic fair on one of those Saturdays. I had a jar for tips. I wasn't even charging money. And I started giving readings. And surprisingly, everyone said, oh my gosh, it was spot on. It was very good, blah, blah, blah. And it was also very, very healing. Within a year, I opened my first office and I was full time. So that's what, yeah, in a nutshell, that was my spiritual awakening experience.
That, like, literally, I felt chills like multiple times listening to your story. Starting with how, you know, when you were going through depression, it's because you were literally closing off like everything. You were suppressing everything and your body was just like, no, like you have to be yourself. You have to let these come through. Like, I just got chills because there's such a connection between like emotional, physical, spiritual. And, you know, a lot of people focus on one, maybe two things, but there's that those other pillars. There's even more than, you know, three pillars, but everything is so connected. And I speak about that a lot. And it's just proof right here that, like, because you were suppressing the spiritual side and then your emotions were suppressed and then physically you started to just shut down. Incredible. And then the messages and, you know, past lives. I used to never believe in past lives. I actually grew up Catholic and I know all about angels, but, you know, I never really gave them any thought. And it wasn't until I started doing the subconscious techniques that I do that I was like, I mean, I was always open-minded, like, yeah, maybe there's past lives, maybe not, maybe we reincarnate, maybe we go to heaven, like, I don't know. And so after exploring that, it's like, I could see my past lives, and just being able to just receive that is incredible too. Like, not even having to go deep into your subconscious mind, like, I mean, it was because you were automatic writing, so you're accessing your subconscious mind, but to be able to tap into that and learn about your soul and not just like this life is so powerful. And yeah, I just like, I got chills, like my eyes like got almost teary, like just hearing your story. It was like so powerful. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you for sharing that too. It makes me feel validated and seen and heard. So thank you.
Good. You are. We're holding space for you here. So I would love to hear about angels and your definition of angels and what they mean to you in from what you've learned about them.
Well, angels are another being. They're not human. They're not like spirit guides. Spirit guides have been human and have lived many lifetime, and they choose to, you know, guide us. They picked us with different purposes. So you may have different spirit guides, but with angels, you may have two or three that follow you throughout different lifetimes. So they know you from the moment you were made, you exist till now. So they know you very, very well, and they are very dedicated to get you to your goals, to help you to fulfill your lifetime purpose. And so comparing angels to human is basically comparing orange to apple. They're just not human. We try to humanize them. They really don't have, you know, an image of a human shape. The reason they look that way to some people is because they help you to relate with them. But otherwise, they are always showing up as a ball of light, and colorful light sometimes. So, and they don't help you unless you ask for help. They will guide you in some ways, but, you know, unless you ask for, I want parking or I want this and that, then they'll show you, you know, the way to do that. But for the most part, they are really helpers from God. You know, universe made them, and there's actually more angels than humans. And they have ranks, right? So all we know is guardian angels are with us. Some of us on average have two or three angels by our side. Some has six, the most I've seen. But on average, two or three. And then you have the archangels, who kind of is, they are one, and they're one of each, and they go basically manage around the world. And then you have all the higher ranks as well that manage the universes. They, you know, I could go into that forever, but basically you have the CEO, the managers, supervisors. But the ones that we are close with is the archangels and the guardian angels, because they are closer to the vibration of Earth. And so a lot of people say, well, I don't feel them, I can't see them. And that's because we need to be able to raise our vibration. And, you know, when we are very influenced by lower vibrational energy or emotions, then it's really hard for us to detect or feel their energy. But if we raise our vibration to the energy of love, joy, peace, enlightenment, then you are able to feel a lot of their energy. So when I was in that room, I meditated. I forgot to say I meditated at least 1 to 2 hours a day. And I didn't think I was capable of it, but I was able to sit there long enough to finally feel like everything is uplifted. And I was in such a high that when I walked past a light bulb, it actually burned off. Like, it just burst. Wow. So you could be raising your vibration to that high. I know it's not the most practical, but it can be.
Like just exploding every time you walk by.
You get an electric shock everywhere, whenever you touch. And also, it's not practical to, you know, meditate 1 or 2 a day. For most people, that's really hard to find time. But it, like I said, it's possible. And when you want to connect with your angels, they are always there for you. They're very excited. They're very talkative. So I do teach people how to connect with your guardian angels and talk with them using the method that I use in that room, through automatic writing. And people are often very surprised, like, oh my gosh, I'm able to, you know, receive those messages. And what's even more interesting is that when they start to do with their partner, they're able to tell what their partner are going through. So that way they are actually validating those messages they receive are true. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay, so could you tell us a little bit about what automatic writing is for those who don't know? Maybe they've never heard of that practice. Could you tell us a little more about it?
Sure. Yeah. So to prepare for automatic writing, I mean, you do need to have, you basically need to prep the space for it, whether that's energetically or physically. So I do recommend things that like crystals, essential oils, and things like that. So make sure you're in a very peaceful environment that's uninterrupted. And then once you really get into ready to write those messages, I want you to be able to call them and say, come closer. I want to hear you. What messages do you have for me today? So when you write those messages, I want you to close your eyes and just start writing and just like allow whatever comes through. And it may sound like your own voice and it may sound like you're making it up, but because you're not reading it and you're having your eyes closed, you really don't know what you wrote just a couple seconds ago. So just continue writing. Don't doubt yourself. You know, whatever comes through, come through, let it happen. And then at the end of it, you'll feel a stop. You'll feel like, ooh, they're not talking anymore. Let's open our eyes and read those messages. So that's how automatic writing is for me, at least. For some people, it's different, but I like to, for me, it's just really trusting how your body feels. What is the messages that's coming through from here and not intellectually thinking about? You're not consciously writing something. So it has to come through from that effortless energy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, amazing. And so how can people get into a high vibration? How can they raise their vibration to get into a place where they can connect using automatic writing? So before you even sit down, what are some ways that they could really get into that place where their vibration is so high? I know you mentioned meditation. Do you have any other tools that you would use to help people get there?
I love this question. I get goosebumps because this is my playground. I love talking about energy. And before we start, I like to do a little exercise with you if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm, I love it.
I think your audience would love this. So we know that words carry energy, right? But a lot of us say, well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if we can measure that. Well, here's your chance to measure that in this exercise. We can measure that with the way our hands are placed. So if you want to reach out your both hands and just kind of keep it, you know, relaxed and just want to put your palms up facing upwards. And then I want you to just intentionally tell your left hand the word love, love, love 3 times. And then we want to say the word hate, hate, hate 3 times on the other side. So go ahead and do that.
Okay. Love, 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 love. I think that was more than 3, but hate, 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 hate.
Okay. So now I want you to close your eyes and reach your hand out even further and just allow it to relax and let it guide you and see where it wants to go. And just give you a couple more seconds. You should feel a little heaviness, a lightness, and see where it drags you or pulls you. And now I want you to open your eyes and see which of your hand goes lower and which one's going up.
Yeah. I moved my body so you could see where my hands are because I didn't move my hands. But yeah, my love hand is definitely higher and open, and my left hand or my right hand is lower and closer, like pulled in, not as open.
So to get read to clear the energy, you just have to clap 3 times. So there you go. You know, so people who doubted that words are energy, this is your chance of seeing the proof, you know, how, like when you walk into a room, you can feel whether that's heavy energy or light energy, because that's where energy stays. You know, whatever happened before in that place, it stays there. So to help you with that, so first of all, our intentions, our thoughts, the words that we use, the choice of words that we use, those are really important. That's number one to begin with. So speak kindly to yourself, speak kindly of others, choose to act out of generosity, be kind, be loving. That can raise the vibration. Other things you can use, crystals are amazing. As we all know, they're all our best friends for empaths. Essential oils. I choose to use lavender and eucalyptus because they're both very energetic cleansing. They can cleanse negative energy really well. So I'll use that. Salt bath is also amazing. So I would use sea salt bath. If you're drawing yourself a bath, you know, just put 10 drops of the lavender, eucalyptus, and sea salt, a cup or two cups in it. It will help you clear. If you don't know how that feels, if you have been in the beach, you've have dipped yourself in the salt water, right? That always makes you feel so much lighter. Another one is playing the Om music throughout your entire place, your house. Sure, you can sage it as well, but if some people are sensitive to the smoke, then you can play the Om music, and that is very, very high vibrational.
Literally have sage sitting on my desk right now. I also, before I do a podcast, I always clear my face and I sit and clear myself. Like,
it's essential. It is. Yes. You know, I have my crystal all over here. I have all, everything. And it keeps me feeling grounded and just aligned. You know, whenever I feel out of sort, then this is my go-to. Another one that's really good is grounding as well. So if you feel like you are electromagnetic field, EMFs can really pollute our energy and our aura. So it's good to step outside without your shoes, you know, just feel your feet on the ground. It's really excellent. And eating clean. You know, a lot of people don't see that your diet is really you. What you eat is who you are, you know. So eating clean is really important, especially lots of veggies, fruits. You know, high vibrational fruits are produce that you can actually feel the vibration. So for example, if you walked into a farmer's market, you may feel different than you actually walk into a regular supermarket. So
or your garden. Or your garden, the vibration.
Or your
garden,
exactly.
Yourself, right?
Yeah, as nasty as compost is, you also feel the high vibration in it. Although it's, it makes you bad.
It's literally nutrients. It's right there in your soil. Yeah,
super
absolutely.
High nutrient. So yeah, those are the top tips that I use for myself to raise my vibration. And of course, if there is also toxicity around, meaning this people that has always been like, you know, do a lot of gossiping and talking bad about themselves. People that you always feel like you need to take some time off to just be, you know, to realign, that tells you and me that you really need to keep your distance from them. And it's important to so focus on yourself, keep your cup full. So self-care is really important too. Yeah.
I love that. It's very important to me to create a space where I feel like the energy is clear. Like you can just feel when it's heavy. I remember the first time when I used to live, we rented. So we had a landlord and it must have been 2 years ago now. Her and my husband, who has PTSD, got into this huge like blowout. And I had got this protection candle. So it was all essential oils from a local indigenous shop. And it had black tourmaline in it. And I just like put that in all the windows. And I literally put like rows of salt in my windows because I didn't want her like energy to come through the windows into our space because she lived above us. And I was just like, can't handle this. Like it was so much, right? Like you feel it, and nobody wants to live in that. And it's hard when there's like circumstances that you can't control, like that situation, but you can do what you can to raise your own vibration. And like you said, you can easily call in good energy. All you have to do is ask for it. Simply just ask for it. I actually had that conversation just before our podcast today with a friend. I dropped my daughter off at forest school, and her little best friend's mom was like, so-and-so isn't probably not going today. Like she's having a hard time. So we were chatting about that, and she just mentioned, she's like, you know, sometimes she's like, I think I need to go to bed earlier. I'm tired. I'm kind of cranky. And like, she picks up on that energy and then she doesn't want to go to school. And I said, you know, you could just change that, your energy. You could just like wake up. And even if you're tired, you can tell yourself, like, this is going to be the best day. I'm going to have such a good autumn day. I'm not tired. I have so much energy. And like, I'm like, even if you don't actually feel less tired, the fact that you're choosing the energy to go into the day with, she's going to pick up on that energy and she's going to want to go to school. So it's a simple thing. You just have to, yeah, choose it. You just tell yourself that you're going to have a great day and ask for those good vibrations to come in. And then like, that's, it's as simple as that. Like it's sounds really complicated to just like change your energy. Oh, well, how do I do that? Like I'm already feeling crappy. But like, it truly is as simple as just announcing it. Like I'm going to change my energy. So I love that. Yes, yeah. I absolutely just, I love that. And I think, so to connect to our angels, we want to make sure we're in a high vibration because angels are on that high frequency and high vibration. And so what sort of guidance would you suggest people maybe start asking for? Like what's a good way to kind of get some answers if people are feeling maybe a little unsure about this practice, but they want to connect and it's like their first time? Do you have any little exercises they could start with that would kind of reassure them in the process?
Sure, yeah. So you want to start asking really open-ended questions. So things like, what would I need to know today? Or what messages do you have for me today? Tell me about my strengths, or what do I need to do in order to XYZ, or in order to make more money? And I learned a lot of wealth empowerment concept from them, actually, because money is energy. So it's okay to go there. You know, people will say, well, maybe angels don't understand money because that doesn't exist in your world. But energetically, money is a energy. So they know how to help you to attract that. So that's why it's so, you know, law of attraction is something that they're really good at talking about. So if you're unsure if you're connected to the angels, one of the things to look out for when you have already done the automatic writing, so when you ask those questions, right, so give yourself a couple of minutes to see, to just allow that message just to come through and don't rush it. Don't be, you know, beating yourself up and say, I'm not hearing anything. And also it's really important to for you to focus on which of your psychic ability is the best. For some of us, most of us who are empath, we feel it through our body. We feel it through our guts. And for some people, they're best in their clairaudience, so they hear it better, or they're seeing better with their third eye. And in some cases, people just know that's the claircognizance. So you just know it. And that's the hardest for you to differentiate whether that's your ego or your soul speaking. But through practice, you'll get there. So focus on the clairs that are most strongest to you. And so, yeah, that's that. And then so to understand, to know whether that is your angel speaking to you or not, one of the telltale signs is they always start with dear one. Or and then they say, we are here. We are here. They like to repeat things 2 to 3 times. Or they say, love, love, love. You know, they like they like exclamation marks. Because when you connect with them, they're super excited. This is like their first time that they're saying, oh, I have an open communication with my humans, you know. And you may hear this high-pitched voice as well, and they go really fast. They, you might sense like there's a lot of people talking, like there's a lot, that's a huge party going on up there. You may also sense like there's like singing choir voices. I get goosebumps when I talk about this because that's how excited they are. Like, thank you for sharing us. That's me channeling right now. They also like to tell you how much they love you. We love you so much. And then they say we, they don't say I, even though you may think that you are connecting to one particular angel. Let's say you're calling out Archangel Michael specifically, he will still say we. And that's because it's a collective message. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And Archangel Michael comes with his own legion of angels as well. And I say he, but there's still, there are no gender with them. But, you know, they come in with a little bit of feminine energy or masculine energy. And you can tell those. Another fun way to do this also is to ask for your angel's name if you want to identify them. So if you ask for, you know, how many guardian angels do I have with me? And then ask, well, can I have your name? Now, if you go to another psychic and you're asking for validation and what their names are, they don't really know that. They can't validate that. This is personal to you, right? And again, the angels come up with names so that you can relate with them. But honestly, they don't really care about their names. And then you may also sense that there's a big, big presence. So when you are channeling those energy, you will feel this overwhelming sense of love and kindness, and just it can make you teary, like you said. You know, earlier on, you felt that already because we're talking about them and they're coming to us.
Yes.
So you'll feel that sense of this big, overwhelming love, because also angels are at least 20 to 30 feet high. So they're large, they're huge, they just come up with so much positive healing energy. So having them around us, you know, it's just, it elevates you to another level. So when you hear, and when you start to incorporate, you know, the angel's energy, another confirmation is that you'll hear a lot of people say, I just love your energy. I don't know what is it about you, but I just love your energy. And I've been doing that so much that I get DMs about that at least a few times a week. So when I hear that, I go, thank you so much, angels, for doing that for me.
Yeah, that's like the best compliment. Honestly, I feel like there's no better compliment than when somebody says, like, I love your energy. Like, you just have such good energy. It's because even through like a screen, you're transmuting your energy to somebody else, and you're able to make someone else's day better just by being who you are, which is incredible.
And you have great energy, Megan. I can feel all the things you're practicing and doing. Your energy is super bright. So wonderful job.
Thank you so much. Like I said, like, it's my favorite compliment. So that's so funny. But yeah, I mean, I make a point to say, especially before every podcast, I'm like, you know, share, bring me good vibes. Like, I want to transmute that through the screen to my guests, to the people listening. Because when we can share that energy and you're inspiring somebody else, or you're able, like, I want someone else to feel like they're like sitting right beside me. You know, we can see each other right now, but I want the people listening to feel like they're literally my best friend sitting beside me, and we're like connecting and having a one-on-one conversation. Because if you're just listening to somebody like talk, like, where is the fun in that, right? Like, where's the connection? But to be able to understand somebody's energy and be like, this person gets me, like, I feel it's so powerful. Like, that is such a powerful thing that anybody has access to. And now everybody listening knows, like, all you have to do is simply ask your angels to help you to transmute that energy, right?
Yeah, and surround you. And, you know, I like to do too, and for the listeners who are all business owners, if you feel lost, if you feel like I don't know where I'm at today, I need guidance, just ask the angels to work their magic through you and say, I'm an open vehicle. I'm an open instrument. Use your tools, use your energy to work through me to do your work. And you'll be surprised what comes through. Like, help me help them. And there are some things that I never thought about, and I started doing what they want me to do, and turns out to be quite a success. And how I even got connected to you too, like that, I didn't expect that at all. So I allow myself to be an open conduit every single day because I know with my little brain, I can never think about all those little creative ways. It's for just sure. With them, yeah, they have a bigger, more expansive view of our purpose in life than we do. So yeah, thanks for mentioning that.
So good, yeah. And so how do you know, or is it possible, because some people say that it is possible for like negative entities to try and jump in and give you bad advice. So do you believe that is true? And how do you know that who is speaking to you is not an angel or not a spirit guide? And then also, if this is something that happens, how can you protect yourself in the future and making sure that the information you're receiving is for like your highest intention and highest good?
I absolutely love this question. Megan, I think you already know this question. So.
I know that the listeners. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. That's why I stress so much on raising your vibration, because that helps you to have a very protective layer. Your aura is your protection. So when people ask me, why aren't you scared? And I have been to many haunted places before. And if you want to really compare that dark energy and light energy, go to a place you know absolutely 100% is haunted. Just walk in there, right? And if you haven't done any like high vibrational practices, you will feel that this energy is affecting you. You will feel the instant of like it's chasing you, it's trying to drive you out of the house. Like, it really would affect you psychologically. But if you've done all this high vibrational stuff, you walk in there, you may feel like you're walking into a pea soup because it feels really heavy, but it won't affect you. You won't be so scared because you're carrying a bright light. So for me, when you're starting to feel like lower vibrational sense of being, you will feel that you're starting to talk negatively about yourself. So sometimes it may not be, you know, an external energy. It could be also coming from you. So if you're starting to do that, you may attract external negative energies. There's a lot of wandering souls out there. So sometimes people may say, well, my home was never haunted, but somehow there is an energy in here right now that's with us and it's creating chaos. And that's because we attract them. So, you know, like attract light. So people never think of how, you know, what about the negative part, right? What does negativity looks like? So that's why it's very important to be, to keep your energy clean. So I call that energetic hygiene. And if you know that you tend to talk negatively about yourself, to work on those negative beliefs and reframe those into more positive beliefs. So it's really important to keep working on yourself so that not only is your energy clean, but your mind is also constantly being, you know, rinse, cleanse, and repeat that, right? Mm-hmm. So the other way that you may also tell, like if you're doing automatic writing, and it's starting to feel like you must do this, you should do that. Angels don't say those things. Angels,
it's not a direct command.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. It is not a you have to do something. It always comes off as suggestion. It's a loving guidance. But if it starts to say you must and you should, it could be from our ego. It could also be from external beings. So yeah, but other than that, I would really stress on making sure your energy is hygiene. Your home is also very important, keeping it clean, having essential oils, crystals everywhere, playing the old music, you know, once every month. That would definitely help to keep it really high vibrational.
Amazing. And I don't know why this just reminded me, but so in my coaching program, we did like a whole section on energy, but one of the other things she said, and like you said, clapping clears the energy. And, you know, and she was saying if she didn't have smoke, she'd clap in corners and just clear things out and walk around your house. And you can do that. And the thing too is that energy gets stuck in places where there's a lot of objects and stuff, right? So going in with smoke or with clapping, cleansing like your bookshelf, because you have like a lot of books on your thing and they get stuck in between there. So just making sure that it's cleared and dusted and that sort of thing, where Yeah, just that's something I've been trying to be really mindful of, because I am not like a neat person. I leave things places. I'm like, oh, I'll get it later, and then I don't. Like, that is just, I've been that way my entire life, and I'm working hard on changing it. But when I think about it from an energetic standpoint, it's a lot easier for me to actually tidy up, because I'm like, well, if I leave that there, then the energy is going to get stagnant and it's not going to flow. And so when I think of it from that point of view, and like, if I want money to flow into me and I want my manifestations to come to life, well, then I have to create a flowing energy, like energetic space, right? So
declutter. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's hard with a 3-year-old, but.
And that's all, like, I find. I think what makes it stuck sometimes is that we have things that no longer serves us, like, you know, a pair of old jeans that you know that you're no longer going to wear, you know, or maybe a certain object reminds you of old energy or people that you have no connection with anymore. That's what I mean by declutter. It doesn't necessarily mean like it's a messy place. But sometimes messy also means that this house is put into good use. It's just
right,
that
it's lived
just,
in.
Yeah, that you've lived in. And so you are now just taking things out that doesn't bring you the joy, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's often to declutter, you know, it's good to declutter once in a while, especially your closet and all the knickknacks.
Right, the things that you put away because you're not using, so you're going to store it away because you might want it one day, but then you realize it's been there for like 3 years. You're like, okay, I haven't used this. I think
I'm guilty of that.
Get rid of. Oh my gosh, we all are, right? We're like, I don't like to get rid of things that I know that I will use one day. I just don't use it often. But like something, even right now, I can think of, there's this, having like an electric mandolin. So you just like put your thing down and it slices it for you. But it has other pieces and stuff, but the only piece I've ever used is the mandolin part. Well, I've used the cheese grater part too, so I guess it still is beneficial. But anyways, the mandolin part broke and it doesn't sit in the thing anymore, so it's like, why am I keeping this? But I have to check and see if the cheese grater piece works or not, because if it does, then I mean, okay, I mean, I have a physical cheese grater, of course. It's something to actually think about. But I wanted to say, I was thinking about this when you were talking about going to a place that is haunted, and this isn't like a haunted story, but years ago, gosh, probably 10 years ago now, my ex-boyfriend and I bought a house together, and the house was great, but there was this like one closet in the basement, and it gave me the creeps. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. It was just like an old closet, but like something about it. And like, it was so strong that like, just thinking about it, I can feel that. Like, I can feel how it made me feel. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, it was creepy or I forgot about it. Like, to this day, 10 years ago, I can still feel that feeling when I think about that closet. Yeah. Just the closet, not outside of the closet. I could have been right outside the closet and been perfectly fine. But something about that closet, like, I was like, this closet's haunted, or there's like a dead body in here or something. Like, somebody hit a dead body in the walls or something. Like, something about it, just, it just felt so off. And
it like feels intense.
And like, the fact that I'm like calling it in right now, like, just that's how strong it was, right? Yeah. And it's like, something is definitely happening.
So,
there
I relate with that so much, 100%. I think this is perfect because Halloween it's coming. Yeah. I used to live in a dorm with my very good friend. There's four of us, there's four rooms, so each of us have one room. So my friend who lives in the other room, she was up front next to the kitchen, and I was on the way back of the apartment. One day I came back, it was late at night, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. from the library, you know, college days, and you come back, I was fast asleep, I come back and just, you know, just doze off. And the next thing I heard was this loud noise banging in the kitchen, like somebody's, you know, cooking up a storm. Like, you can hear the doors banging on the kitchen cabinet, you know, the faucet went on. And I was like, I was so angry. Like, come on, girl, are you serious? Like, at 4 a.m., you have finals tomorrow. So I was this close to getting up and say, you know, keep it down. But then as soon as I thought about it, the noise just went quiet. So the next morning I asked her, I said, what were you doing? What are you trying to cook? And she's like, oh, you heard that too? I said, well, that wasn't you. She's like, no, that wasn't me. I was so scared. I wouldn't want to get up. And she said, you know, I've been seeing this man in my room, and he's been in and out of my room, and he's just making a lot of noise. And soon enough, and he was splashing milk on her mirror. He was doing all those things, right? And at that time, I still wasn't very open intuitively, but I could definitely feel that energy. So she's like, you know what, Jesse, I haven't had enough sleep. It's been a week, and this energy has been disturbing me. Can we switch room and so that I can get some sleep? And I was like, sure. I wasn't afraid. So I went to her room. True enough, I can't sleep at all. And that energy was intense. So the feeling that you were talking about, it starts, yeah. I start to feel creepy, creeped out. Yes. I felt, yeah, my goosebumps went on. I could feel that energy was looking at me. You could feel like someone's looking at you. And it's this negativity, this like again, this heaviness that is right behind you or beside you, and is all. And then sometimes you may see like this dark entity, is this black image, or gray or black, you know, at this corner of your eye. And it was starting to get really stronger over time. And so now that I have studied a lot about energy, how that influences when we function at a lower vibrational place, we actually feed off this negative entities. Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of them turn into demons that possesses other people, possesses the people who live in the same house. That's because their energy is similar.
Right.
Yeah, so if you walk in with this bright light, they can't handle it. They won't even want to touch you. But that's how it works. It's because you're feeding energy off to each other. So the reason that this entity could get so much stronger was because my friend was actually in a very low vibrational place. Mm. And so it's got to a point where I can't even walk to the kitchen anymore because he basically dominated the whole place. Every time I walk in there, it just felt like he was breathing down my neck. So this thing has got so much stronger to a point now we would have to hire a professional to get rid of it. You can't just use a simple sage to do that.
Right. So what happened?
Tell me. So finals, and then right after finals, we have to move out. And I have to move, yeah. So I moved in with my boyfriend, now my husband. But we moved out. I didn't deal with that anymore. But yeah. I learned so much from that experience. And I was actually, before, when I started to do more psychic work, I started out doing the dirty job as well. I was going to houses to cleanse their haunted place. So I would set up a grid with using my crystals. I call in Archangel Michael because he's the one who clears all this negative. Yeah. And they transmute negative energy to positive light. Yeah. And honestly, I didn't know what I was doing. I just really was following their order. And, I used the sage, I used the own music. I opened up all the windows, opened all the cabinets and closet. And I sprinkle salt everywhere I go, as well as I use alcohol spray as well, because alcohol spray has a really good disinfectant, also high vibrational in that sense, where it clears off negative energy. So, lo and behold, it worked. Anything that was haunting that place or was dominating that place, they usually leave. I do have a few times where they would get angry and they knock off my crystal, or they knock off the candle, or my sage plate as well. They would do that. And at one point, I was doing sage. I was doing anti-clockwise. And then it just knocked my hand off, and my sage just flew across the floor. And I was like, okay, you're not welcome here, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
but I'm starting to feel more confident with this kind of energy. I just don't want, people need to understand that the reason that there is in your house is because we are responsible for it. So the more you're aware of the energetic hygiene, the better your house would be, or your place would be.
Yeah. So what if you say your husband or your partner is like going through a really tough time, and you conceive that they have really low vibrational thoughts and feelings and actions, is how can you, as somebody who lives with them, make sure that they are like cleansed without them knowing that you're like cleansed?
Mm-hmm. That is a great question too. I personally always communicate with my husband or my friends, mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, I'm concerned, let's talk about this. I always make sure we have open communication. You know, me and my husband, we always talk. So I say, whenever anything that is weighing you down and is making you feel less than, we need to talk, and I want you to be able to talk to me, right? And so I think it's so important to start with ourselves too, that we need to be able to be in a good place. So if you're not feeling like yourself, it's so important to talk to like a coach, a therapist, or a friend who can hold space for you. Absolutely. And I think it's really important to start with ourselves so that the people that is around us start to be lifted up as well. They will start to raise their bars and they want to come with you. And the ones that don't will show you true colors, and you'll know, okay, they don't necessarily need to fit into our circle. So I believe that it has to start with you. And then once you're in a good place, you know, people will reach out. People will want to be better. They'll ask, how did you do it? And then always, you know, keep an open communication with your friends and family and reach out whenever. I think that's a good start. And then whether that they want to do it or not, we can't really force them. So we really need to also give them the space, the kindness, the time to let them explore themselves as well. So know that they too have their own purpose, and it's up to them to discover it. Yeah.
I mean, it's very much like what, you know, my daughter's friend's mom was saying this morning, like her energy, she feeds off my energy. And I was also just here, I heard something that I think it was on like Instagram Reel or something, but kids, like children, I think until like when they're in that subconscious stage, so like up until the age of 7, mm-hmm. they actually enter the same aura with their mom until they are out of that. So it's like, it's not even just that they like pick up on your energy, it's that you're literally sharing the same aura. So like, that's mind blowing, because if you think about that, everything that you do and feel, your kid is going to pick up on, whether you're even with them or not. Like, my daughter could be at forest school right now, and if I'm sitting here like angry and pissed off, then she's going to be like angry and pissed off and not know why, right? So to be able to look at it from that sense is like, if I want my child to be happy and calm and all the things, then all you have to do is do that yourself, and like, your child will just be, because it's air and aura.
I'm so glad you share that. Yeah, it's so absolutely true. And you notice that kids don't follow what you say, but they follow what you do and what you feel as well. And they pick it up, you know, so is our pets, you know, how dogs pick up our emotions. It's because they're sensitive beings. They are fresher than us, actually. They come out, they literally just came from the other side. So it's really important for us, to do the work and be mindful of what energy we're carrying, because our kids really inherit that. I have an 8-year-old, and the same, you know, everywhere he goes, people will say, I just love him. I don't know, something about him. He's just so bright. He's just so cute. You know, people want to give him free stuff everywhere we go. So, you know, you're doing your kids a favor when you are taking care of yourself. And it's so important. As with moms, we tend to let go of that. You know, it's compromise our self-care, but it's so important to make time and effort for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought of another thing I wanted to share with you as well. Just when you're talking about, you know, starting from you and like transmuting that to your partner. When my husband and I first started dating, I don't know why I don't do that anymore. I shouldn't. But if he was like ever in a bad mood, I just would like give him the stupidest like grin. Like, I would literally just sit in front of him with like the biggest smile on my face, and like, it was literally impossible for him to not smile. Like, it didn't matter what he was pissed off about or like what kind of mood he was in. Like, look at, you're smiling. Because like, when you smile at somebody like that and you just stare at them with like this stupid grin on your face, like, it's impossible for them to not smile back. Like, try it. Like, go to somebody randomly, and like out of nowhere, just start smiling at them. Like, people are like, what are you doing? And then they start laughing because they're like, what is happening? It's impossible to like not.
Yeah, it's a conscious choice, right? Like you said, you can choose to do that right away. And positive energy, healing energy is around us. Your angels are always with you. They're always standing by your side, around you, wrapping you with their energy. So it's just really calling that in and choosing wisely, what energy do I want to feel today? I want to feel good in despite of what happened, right? You can choose how to respond to that situation. And if all else fails, and one of the things that I love to do is to go to a place that you feel most high vibration. So, you know, wherever that place reminds you of, like, you know, if it reminds you of prosperity, it reminds you of this healing energy, go to that place, get yourself out of the situation. That will help you to detach yourself from the negativity or whatever's bringing you down. So for me, I love to go to this place in Laguna Beach, and it has a top view of the beach, and it's a coffee place, and it is a very inexpensive place to go. For me, it's just getting a cup of coffee, sitting down, feeling the breeze of the ocean, and it just makes me forget about all my stupid little problems, you know? And sometimes we get so tangled into this little mess. But the truth is, there's bigger stuff for us out there. And the ocean always reminds me of how big the world is.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. And then also, crashing waves are the number one natural source of negative ions.
There you go.
When you're all, like, consumed by all the EMF and all the things that are happening, it's, like, literally, if you live somewhere where there are crashing waves, especially the ocean, it's salt water, it's just a way to just cleanse yourself, like listening to those crashing waves. You can't go to an ocean, you can listen to waves. You could go in the shower. Like, I always have my people say, you know, you have the best thoughts in the shower, and it's like similar to crashing waves. Like, it's water that's dropping and crashing.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. Yes, waves, forest.
Yes, the forest. Good. Yeah. So I was wondering if you have like a morning routine that you like to do, maybe something that helps you like call in good energy for the day. Like, do you have like a set kind of, maybe not even like a rigid routine, but something that you like to try and start your day off with every day or?
Mm-hmm. So if you would like to connect with the angels and connect with the positive healing energy of the universe, just play the own music in the morning and meditate with it for 10 to 15 minutes. If it's hard for you, just 5 minutes is good enough. Minimum 5 minutes. And use your favorite crystal while you're at it. Holding the crystal gives you the sensation of being present. You're being mindful of, you know, holding that rock. And also allow that rock to heal you. So I will do that. And then say, once you're done with your meditation, is to say, use me as an instrument. What would you help me? What would you like me to do in order to achieve this goal? So let them guide you, and then make sure you're open to it and be open to receive it. No, don't try to block it. That usually starts off in the right place, you know. So just doing that 5 to 15 minutes, it's going to set your day straight really well.
I love that. And so what, like, where can people find you if they want to work with you? How can they do that? Like, tell us all the deets.
All the deets. I am on Facebook. You can search for Jessie Chan. I also have a Facebook group called Spiritual Wealth Creators. So if you could just search on Facebook, it'll come up. If you like to work with me, just add me on Facebook and just DM me. I also have my website called wealthwellnesscollective.com, and you can check out my bio on there. There's also options for you to email me. So yeah, I'm most active on Facebook right now, and it's best to reach me on DMs.
Amazing. Yeah, and I'll put all the links in the description as well, so people know where to find you. Oh, I loved this conversation. Is there anything else that you're like, oh, I really wanted to say before we go?
Well, I will say that the side effects of you being high vibrational is that you're going to attract a lot of money and fun opportunities such as this. And so there is lots of benefits on doing that. I just want to help you to see a bigger picture, you know, by high vibration is not just about being woo and like, oh, cool, I'm very spiritual. It's actually more than that. You know, when you do that, you also break generational trauma and generational patterns. You're helping the world to heal. So by doing the work yourself, you are influencing your family, your community, your society, your clients too. You know, they will sense it from you. And I do believe that the way going forward doing business is all about energy. People, the way that you stand out from the crowd is the energy that you emit in the internet world. So there's so many pluses in doing this work. One of the fun things is that you attract unexpected money, and that's how they bless you and reward you. So keep up the good work.
Yes. Amazing. This was such a good conversation. And I think that the listeners can take like practical advice, like even in a subject that is more woo for some people, it's like there are still tangible things that they can go away with and try. And, you know, I said in one of my podcast interviews that I just had is like the best thing that you can do in your life is have an open mind. If you have an open mind, like you can do anything. If you approach life like a scientist and you wonder what could happen if, and then you just try it, like so much potential can start just from that alone. So I encourage everybody to go meditate and ask to speak with your angels and see where that takes you. Like that's the best way to start.
Yeah. And if you want to share any messages and ask if you're on the right track, just come to my Facebook group and I'll be happy to help you out too. So amazing. Thank you, Megan, for having me. Yes, and thank you, listeners, for listening to. I hope to connect with you all.
Yes, I can't wait.